Let me get you started quickly this morning. Matthew's Gospel, the 27th chapter. Okay. Matthew chapter 27. The text is taken from verse 22. Let me give you a little background. Jesus is being taken by the high priest. They're taking him to Pilate. Before he gets to Pilate, knowing what his wife said to him is so interesting. She says to him, "Have nothing to do with this righteous man. I have suffered so much in dreams about him. Pilate, leave this alone. Don't cave. Stay with what you got. You're in charge. You're the governor. You're the Roman council right here. Stay with who you are. Do not crater to those people." Did Pilate listen? No. He did not. Why did he listen? Because he said they threatened him with Caesar. You're not a friend of Caesar's if you don't listen to what we're saying. The Jews weren't friends of Caesar, ever. And he knew that, but he listened to what they had to say. Many of us listen to things like that. We hear things every day. I hear stuff all the time. It's baffling. I mean, absolutely baffling what you hear today. I mean, we face problems. All of us have problems. I've got problems. I'm sure you do too. You want something taken care of, it's not getting taken care of, you got these problems, you run into situations that are beyond belief. In fact, they're beyond logic. How in the world do people ever get here? The statements that are incredulous today, I mean, they're idiots. That's what I called them, yeah, idiots. Anybody that, well, never mind, I can't get off into that one. Okay, what can I get off into? I can get off, it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous to tell me that a man's going to have a baby. I don't care what's between his ears. It's not about your ears that have babies. And if you need to know more about this, Steve's a great counselor. He'll help you out with that one. It defies sanity. It defies everything. Common sense. You know, I used to kind of think I had a little bit of an educational background. But when I hear what's being taught in schools today, when I hear what's coming out of colleges, when I hear what people are actually saying today, I'm thinking, Lord have mercy. I mean, this is stupid. I mean, it's beyond, I'm sorry, dear, I'm not supposed to use that word. I don't know why I can't use that word. I use it all the time. She's just not around. And Howie, no, it's the woman that thou gavest me, but sometimes I don't listen. There's an important question here. And it's found in verse number 22. It's a question that has been posed. It's posed to every individual. And yet, it's universal. But it's only six little words. Six little words right there. What shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do with Jesus? I mean, it's a simple question. It's not like you need to know the subject even more. You know who Jesus is. But Pilate is asking, this is the Roman council. This is a pagan. This is somebody, it's not like a Jew. He doesn't have Jehovah God as his background. He just simply is right there in Jerusalem, and he has to answer that. What shall I do with Jesus then? Why was he asking that? Because these Jews were saying, oh, we don't want Jesus. We want Barabbas. We want this prisoner. We want this insurrectionist. We want this guy released who we know has killed people, but we would rather you put Jesus to death and not Barabbas. Pilate's going, you people are crazy. This is a righteous man. This man has done nothing worthy of death. You know, he's perplexed. I get perplexed. I get perplexed when I listen to things like this. But he's addressing a very frenzied, angry mob. What do they got on their mind? Crucifixion. These Jews were seeking out crucifixion. But that does not lessen the very nature of the question. The question that every one of us must answer. We must give answer to this very question. What shall I do with Jesus? Ask yourself that. What shall I do with Jesus? You know, because it's supreme importance. It is what God has given us. Yes, it's universal. Yes, all over the world today, people know of Jesus. But today, I want to make it individual. I want to make it personal. I want you to have to stop and think about it. My friends, you cannot evade that question. There's no way to get around it. You can't say, well, I'm just neutral. If you're not for me, you're against me. That's the very words that Christ used. If you cannot say in your heart who he is, what significance he has, I tell you this, deal with it. Because you'll deal with it in this world, or you will deal with it for sure in the next. Because this is what God has given us. You're not getting around it, people. I didn't get around it. Nobody gets around it. You can't. What can you do with it? Well, I can reject it. Well, yeah, you can reject it. Just like they did. They repudiated Christ. They moved against him. But today, Jesus stands before you this very moment. Choose you this day whom you will serve. We have to make a choice. You must choose. Now, what's your choice? You say, well, I think I made a choice. Well, what do you mean you think? There are some times in life that you just have to answer the question. Now, you know me. I answer questions sometimes with questions. I think that's sometimes I want to find out more information. I want to know where you're going with this. So I'm putting this into three simple questions to you this morning. Very simple. And I'm going to start with that very first one right there. What can I do with Jesus? What can I do with Jesus? It's a question you can't avoid. I can't avoid it. I can't escape it. I've already talked to you about that. I may want to be neutral because I like this world, and the world is anything but pro-Jesus, but that's impossible. I mean, it's a question that everybody's going to ask. What can I do? What can I do with Jesus? Well, I can accept him. I can accept him as my Savior, and that's the very thing I should do. Or I could be like Pilate, and I could bow to the crowd, as we see everywhere all day long in America, and I can reject him. I can reject the very thought about him. I can crown him as my Savior, and that's exactly what I did. Or I can have him crucified, as Pilate would end up doing. He was crucified him morally. He knew that this was wrong. He knew absolutely he had done nothing wrong. But he crucified him morally in his own heart. He didn't listen to his wife, and that's the one time he should have listened. But he did not. So this morning, there's just two simple things. Two. Not three, not four. Two. I think you can handle. Can you handle two? Just two. You know, one and one, they make two. These are simple stuff. You don't have to worry about it. Either Jesus is a friend of yours or he's a foe. Is that difficult? I mean, that's two things. Either you accept him or you reject him. No, there's no middle ground here, people. You know, as they always say, well, Jim, you're just too black and white. Yes, I am. I know that I am, and that's just who I am. You can either follow him or you can turn away from him. You can go wash your hands in a basin, and I think that's the one thing. I'm going to give Pilate credit for that. He's sitting there, he washed his hands in a basin and said, the blood of this man is not going to be upon me. But yet it was on him because he said, take him and do with what you want to. Then what did the Jews say? Let his blood be upon us and upon our children's children. And it surely has been upon them all this time. You could have said yes to Christ, or you could say no to him. You can be for him or you can be against him. All these things come together. But there's only two things. There's nothing in between. There's only two that you have to think. So let me expand that question just a little bit more. Okay? Anybody watch The Chosen? Anybody been watching The Chosen? Oh, incredible. I mean, I love that. I've been, especially season three has been powerful. Very, very powerful. When I think about that, I think, and this is just an actor, because we saw him on, what did we see him on? Castle? Yeah, he played in Castle, when he was younger than that. But how about this Jesus? What can I do with his personality? When I read the scripture, I find the very personality of Christ, well, it's awesome. I mean, just reading words, his personality is awesome. It's something that I'm amazed when I read the things that he says, the way he produces things. It's just, It ought to produce in me more reverence. It surely should. I should be so enamored with who he is and what he does. He transcends anyone and everyone that has ever lived in this world. That's who Jesus is. That's the kind of personality he has. All of these things. And when he speaks, it confronts the entire world. It confronts us. It's something that you've got to deal with. I mean, his thoughts were revolutionary. There were things that they weren't Old Testament. He didn't say, yeah, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. He said, no, love your enemies. Do good to those that are bad to you. Do all of these things. So everything that he did, what did he do for our America? What did he do for America? He changed our ideals. We're slowly changing them back. In fact, I think we're not slowly. I think we're really going to change them back. The way that we're looking at it right now. So you got his personality. How about his character? What can you do with his character? What did Pilate's wife say? This man's a righteous man. This man's done nothing. So when I ask you that, what do you think of his character? Let me ask you, you all have an opinion. What do you think of our president? Oh, stop. What do you think of ex-presidents? What do you think about the last four or five presidents? Let it go. Okay, but you got an opinion, right? What do you think about certain movie actors? I know some of you ladies going, yeah. Certain age group. Harrison Ford, it made him look like he was 40. I think, isn't that amazing how they can do all that kind of stuff? That's that Kevin Costner look. I'm not mentioning your name, Margaret. I didn't say a word. What do you think of your in-laws? No, let's not go there. No, forget that one. How about your favorite sport? How about your favorite fan base? All that. If Dave was here, I'd have to listen one more time to Alabama. I'm going to go, yeah, buddy. And you know, and he wants to know why I'm happy every time Alabama gets beat. I love him, though. And Alabama doesn't get beat very often, but every once in a while it happens. Can I say this about Jesus, though? When you really consider about his character, you know what that tells me, how you consider it? It tells me what your character is. That's what it says to me. Your answer to this question tells me everything about your character, because this is true of no other man. But it's certainly true about Jesus. How about his words? What can you do with his words? I mean, you think about the things that he spoke. A couple, just simple ones. How about, tarry ye in the upper room. Stay in Jerusalem until you be empowered by the Holy Spirit, till it comes. That was a commandment. What was it given to? It was given to Christians. It was given to his disciples. It was given to his followers. What do you do with that? How about, come, take up your cross and follow me. That's a command. That's something that Jesus made to every one of us. It's been ringing down through the centuries, over and over and over again. It confronts everybody. Take up thy cross. He said, when he says come, do you know what that really means? It means leave. What are you leaving? You're leaving your old lifestyle. You're leaving your old ideas. You're leaving your own ideals. And sometimes you're leaving your old companions. If you know what's good for you, I left mine. I had to. Have they come to Christ since then? Yes, they have. But I could not stay in that same place because those old companions of mine put us all together. It was not a good time. Well, we thought we were having a good time, but when Jesus makes the statement, when I listened to his words, when he said, come, I had to leave that old life behind. Now, praise God, 2 years ago, one of my best friends died. But he knew Jesus. He came to Texas and said, I got to have what you got. It wasn't me. It was Jesus. It's who he is, what he is. How about when Jesus made the statement, you must be born again? You know who he made that to? He made it to a very religious man. He made it to a very moral man. He made it to someone that was highly respected, one of the best of anyone in his world of that day. But you know, he looked at him and said, morality is not going to be enough. As it is today, I know moral people, but they don't know Jesus. And what would be the end result? The same result that he said. Morality is not the question, people. It is, who is Jesus and who is he in your personal life? He has to come and do the innermost nature that you have and change it. He has to redirect our lives. We have to be regenerated by his Spirit. These things must take place. You must become a new creature in Christ. This is what we have to be. Because if we don't, what do we have? We're lost. Absolutely lost. We'll either heed the warnings and be intelligent, loving. Is he calling right now? Okay. Well, you can ignore the phone call, but don't ignore him. Because if you ignore this question, you ignore it to your own detriment and to eternity. That's as simple as I can make it. What do you do with Jesus' sacrifice? If you really think about that for a moment, what do you do with his sacrifice? I have to read it. It's been on my heart ever since Betsy was here playing Crown Him with Many Crowns. Isaiah 53 has just been echoing through my brain just over and over and over again. I'm going to pick it up at verse number 5. I'd love the first four verses. But verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon us. And with his stripes, we're healed. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. What do you do with his sacrifice? What can you say about his sacrifice? All I can say is, he came into this world. He suffered when he shouldn't have suffered. He gave his life. He died. He was rebuffed. He was reviled. They spat upon him. They put a crown of thorns and stuffed it into his head. They did it. They beat him. They put him under a heavy cross with a spear poked in his back and made him carry it to the top of the hill. Laid him down. Drove nails in his hands and his feet. What can you say about his sacrifice? He did it for you. He did it for me. That's what he did. This is who he is. I can say this, let his blood wash me whiter than snow. That's what I can say. Let the sacrifice that he made, I accept your salvation because you did this for me. Or you can reject it. We have that. We have the ability to do that. I know some of my brethren don't think that, but I think that. We have the ability to say no. We have the ability to be some unthankful ingrate to think that the sacrifice, the greatest act of atonement ever given, I can turn my back on it. Doesn't mean anything. So what can we do with Jesus? Let me move on. The second question. What shall I do without him? You ever think about that? What if there was no Savior? What if you simply look upon him and you don't make any move? You know, one of the things about being a pastor, Brother Carr really brought this home to me many, many times. When things go bad, you get a phone call. Yeah. Don't hear from anybody, but when something happens, you get a phone call. What could I possibly do without? When it comes down to Jesus, could I do without him in sorrow? I don't think so. I couldn't turn to John chapter 14. I could not believe, come unto me all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I wouldn't know what to do if I could not turn to him and say that I need you right now. Because sooner or later, all of us are going to bow at that shrine. And I'm going to call it a shrine because that's exactly what it is. And it makes no difference who you are, male or female, wealthy, poor. It doesn't make any difference whether you're educated or illiterate, whether you're great or you're small. It doesn't make any difference. I don't care if you're a king or you're a peasant. Every one of us is going to bow. But when it comes to sorrow, when it comes to something that impacts our life, that is an uninvited guest. Where would I be without the comforts of Jesus Christ? I would be absolutely no place. That's when we need Christ even more. What would you do without Jesus Christ when it comes to sorrow? What would you do without Jesus Christ when it comes to trouble? Have you experienced trouble recently? Problems in life? They come, they're going to come, they're going to keep on coming. And that's another shrine. It's another place that we will bow. I love, there's an old Negro spiritual. And I love the first verse of that thing. It says, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Well, it's true. They knew. They knew because they took their troubles to Jesus Christ. And did they not have troubles? When you think about when that was written and when it was sung, it was in the middle of slavery. Trouble. Terrible trouble. All the ingracious, the things that took place in their life. They knew what trouble was. We know what trouble is, but maybe not to that degree. But we sure know what trouble is. What would you do without Jesus in the time of trouble? What do you do without him with sorrow? All these things are relevant. What are you going to do without Jesus when it comes to judgment? You know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen quicker than you think. I mean, you turn right around and no hair on your head anymore. I don't, Steve, yes, but we won't put any lights up there either, that's for sure. It's not too distant a future, my friends. The judgment will be, you will give an account of your life before a holy God. We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be judged in the biggest scheme of the world, universally. Everyone is going to be right there before the God of the entire universe. You'll need Jesus then, right? What would we do without him at judgment? I'm banking on the fact he's going to be there. He's mine, Father. He's mine. Let me move on to the third question. What will Jesus do with me? Well, we've been asking what we can do with him or do without him. But what's he going to do with me? You ever stop to think about that part about it? About your own personal life? And I'm not talking about in eternity. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about what, there's a now and then there's a then. But I'm going to talk about now. Now, I can know forgiveness of sin. I can know that. He said I could know that. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and do what? And never remember them again. That is who Jesus is. He will forgive my sin. But unfortunately, in the world that we live in today, and as it's been always been this way, they've heard the message, but I think we have deaf ears. I think we do not hear what he's saying. We sing hymns. Man, you've had countless sermons. I mean, you've had listened to me, and not only to me. I've heard testimonies how God has taken lives that were so far out that you could not even believe it. But that testimony said, I believe in Jesus. And what can he do for me? He can change me. And he changed them. This is what it is. My friends, this is a pronouncement. Because this is the greatest need of all times. What is he going to do with me? Ask yourself that. Where am I going? What am I doing? What is Christ doing? Well, what's he doing in your life right now? What is Christ making a difference right now? If I would have you list the 10 greatest events of your lifetime. Now, some of you that are 100 years old probably have a lot more than I got. You know, you can reach back to the Depression. You can reach back to, she can't go to World War I. I understand that. Okay. But she can tell me all about World War II. She can tell me all about what took place since then. She can tell me about presidents. She can tell me about events that took place, traumatic things that have happened. Do you know that some of our kids never even, they have no clue about 9/11? Some of them have no idea what took place and why we got into World War II. They've never heard of Pearl Harbor. I have people, they don't even know. Jim, shut up. What do you think he's going to do with me? What can happen to me? My friends, this is the number one highlight of history. When that angel came and he spoke to those shepherds and said, fear not. When he was saying to them, fear not, I bring you tidings of great joy which shall be unto you and to everybody else that's right there. For this one, this baby is born today in Bethlehem. And what is he going to be? He's going to be the Savior. He's going to make everything. And his name is Christ the Lord. That's who he is. There's a now, and then there's a then. But sometimes I think the message gets stale. I think we've heard it so many times, we just don't pay much attention to it. But if that message is stale to you, well, then get it fresh. Look at your own life right now. Look at what God is doing in your life right now. If it's old to you, well, then make it new. Make it something that you deal with right now. If it's way off, oh, it's out there in the future somewhere. No. It's present. It's today. You say, well, that's just a general call. We're all going. No, we're not all going. Uh-uh. That's not happening. Not everybody's going to be there. It is personal. It's individual. He and he alone can save me from my sins. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So when it comes down to Jesus and what's he going to do with me, I'm going to do everything that he told me to do. Why would I do that? Well, because without Christ, life has no meaning. It has no purpose. Without Jesus Christ, life is nothing more than something that's sensual. It's something that's physical. And one day it will end, and it'll end in a grave. When you're dead, you're dead. I'll never forget that. That was said to Brother Carr and I one time. We were visiting this man. When you're dead, you're dead. I said, buddy, you're already there. Without Jesus, you don't have a life. At least a life that has no future. Hell, I don't call it future. Life is empty. It's meaningless. It's disillusioning. It's disappointing. It's discouraging. It's tragic. It's all of these things and more. It's selfish. It's meaningless unless you know Jesus Christ. Without him, you have absolutely nothing. When will we wake up, people? When will we say this to our friends and to our loved ones? When will we share it with our common buddies? When will we actually tell them, you are going on a path that's a dead-end road? What are we going to do? What am I going to do with Jesus? What is he going to do with me? That ought to be something everybody has to answer. I know this, with Christ, life does have meaning. It has great meaning. It always has. It always will. He gave me purpose. He made my life full. He made it radiant. With Christ, life is dynamic. It's not mundane. It's meaningful. And you know something? Life is fun. I have fun. Life is happy. Why? Because I choose to look at it that way. Christ offered me something and gave me something worth living for, and he gave me something that when I die, I'll still live. You see, what will we do with him is extremely important. But what's he going to do for me? Well, right now, that's extremely important. Okay, I haven't forgot about then. I haven't forgot about what could happen in the future. What will we do with me then? All right? That's the other one. It's not about getting buried out at Rosemount or go out here to wherever and be buried. It's not about that at all. What will happen then? You realize that the end of our lives, the last breath that we take in this world, that is the climax of our entire lives. Our entire existence is right there. And then we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. This is what's going to take place. And at that point, it will settle my eternal destiny. But he's saying, you can settle that now. You can't afford to wait till then. What's going to happen then? Well, I can tell you this. If you don't settle it now, then's not going to be a good time. Well, I'll get it right. I'll get it right. That no, you will not. No, you will not get it right. Eternity depends upon the now, right now. I confess him now. And when I do, he will confess me then. That's what he'll do. I confess him now, he will confess me then. I want to wait to hear it. Jesus says, I know him. Father, he's one of mine. Won't that be great? Wouldn't it be? You say, well, I don't have that kind of life. I don't, it's not that great. But the one question that you do have an answer to, and you can get this one right, whether you mess up the rest of the part of your life, that's not important when it comes right down to it. You can make this one right. He's mine. That's all I need to know. He's mine. So what shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do with Jesus? I want you to answer the question in your own heart. Let's pray.